1 year ago today, a federal judge ruled that the NYPD regularly violated the constitutional rights of minorities through its misuse of stop and frisk. In her 195-page decision, Judge Shira Shindlin found that all too often officers were making illegal stops and city officials had encouraged the practice through, quote, deliberate indifference. The city's police unions have attempted to intervene in the case, saying the ruling would impose overbroad remedies. Since last summer, street stops have continued to plummet. Another judge was installed to oversee the case. A new mayor is in City Hall, and policing controversies are still making headlines. Joining me to discuss all this is Fordham Law School professor Ian Weinstein. Good morning, Ian.
Good morning.
Ian, stops are down more than 80%, and the court-ordered remedies have been held up through litigation. Is this case still as important as it was believed to be last year?
This remains a really important case. In at least two different dimensions. First of all, the fact of the litigation has really put the spotlight on stop and frisk and made it such an important public issue here in New York City. It spurred action by the city council. It made stop and frisk a significant issue in the mayoral race. So it has been so important and continues to be so important in focusing public attention. Secondly, the opinion itself, as you said, is a very detailed, careful treatment of the legal issues. And in weaving together statistics, training materials, the testimony of many witnesses, it paints a really vivid picture of what appears to have been pretty widespread unconstitutional conduct on the streets of New York City. So the case is very important.
Now, the police department will get a federal monitor as a result of the decision. What kinds of things can we expect to see once this court-appointed monitor, Peter Zimroth, begins his work?
That's such an important question, and it is, I think, really useful to keep in mind that although much has changed, the specific remedies that the judge has ordered have not come into place yet. When they do start, the monitor is going to have the power to order changes in police training, particularly around the legal materials as to what constitutes a stop and so on. There are going to be changes in how police document stops, changes in supervision, monitoring, and discipline of police officers. The experiment with body cameras has received a lot of attention, and that is part of the judge's order. And then there's a longer-term joint remedial process in which a facilitator is going to run town halls and work with communities. And that joint remedial process really holds perhaps the most promise for closing some of the gap between some New York City communities and the New York City Police Department.
Now, will these changes make an impact on some of the other policing issues that are currently being debated, like the broken windows style enforcement of low-level crimes, especially after the death of Eric Garner in police custody, and strained police-community relations?
And of course, so many people rightly wonder about exactly that. I think it's quite important to keep in mind that while so much has changed and is changing, and statistics tell us that stop and frisks have really gone down, still, in some neighborhoods in New York City, the difference between having an encounter with the police in a stop and frisk situation and having an encounter because the police are investigating a low-level crime and enforcing low-level crime, that may be no difference at all. So for all of the changes, and they're real and there are many, on the streets, some New Yorkers seem to continue to have the same experience with the police.
Thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Thanks so much.
Fordham Law School professor Ian Weinstein.